There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Appreciate that prayer, Brother Mike. And as always, we ask you to continue to pray as I stand before you tonight. I've enjoyed the service. Needless to say, the singing has been beautiful to me. Thank God for that and sweet prayer. And an opportunity to stand before you one more time to speak in the glorious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And I believe the Lord has given us the faith in his word that we're to preach from. And he's given us the faith as ministers to be able to embrace that truth. And then as we share that with you, God's little children, who've also been given faith to be able to embrace that truth. And we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth as the righteousness of God, and that's what really the gospel tells you about, how that we are righteous before God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that has been imputed to us, how our sins have been removed from us, and that we've been justified, washed, made holy and blameless before him in love through his finished work. And his obedience and his righteousness was given unto us, where our sins were taken from us and placed upon him. And he died on the tree of the cross and legally washed us, cleaned us up, made us fit so that one day we might be with him in heaven and immortal glory. And also made us accepted in the beloved, so that even tonight we can open our Bibles and we can read from the Word of God, and we can have fellowship in the Lord, you know, where we're a benefit to one another by the comfort that comes from God's Word, where we can be a help to one another. How can I help you tonight? How can you help me? By sharing the truth, by sharing the great message of God's sovereign grace and what he has done for us. And that'll get you through the storms of this life and the problems that you're going to face in this world. And even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll be able to fear no evil, because you'll feel his manifest presence with you and have an understanding that he has prepared and gone the way before me. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Pray tonight that the Lord will just bless us with that comfort and that rest that comes from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you tonight an account that really Brother Junior Carpenter brought up last weekend when we were up in Martinsburg Church. Brother Junior asked a question. And the question involved the Lord Jesus Christ, when the devil came and tempted the Lord, or the Lord was led of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it was one verse there that Brother Junior read and asked Brother Terry the question, and I got to overhear it, and it made me think about it. And I've been reading this passage, and I've kind of been on that. You know, I don't think things just happen by happenstance. I believe God. I don't believe everything is predestinated by God to happen, like some believe that every event, every activity, good or bad, is predestinated of God to occur. But I believe God providentially works in our lives. That he's on the throne and he's sovereign and he reigns. And God moves in our lives at times in ways we don't have a clue about. And that's why it's important for every minister of the gospel to look to the Lord to guide him in his preaching and to guide him as he instructs the Lord's people. It's also important for you tonight to pray for me and pray for any man that stands before you that God would guide him and bless him, give him confidence, give him strength, not in himself, as Brother Mike said, but in the Lord. Knowing that as we look to the Lord tonight as a little congregation, He will supply what we need tonight and things we don't even know we need, things we're not even aware of that we haven't come to even experience yet. Maybe not even know we need it yet. But the Lord provides it. Have you ever been there where He just provided what you needed and it was so clear and evident at the time and you at the time didn't even know why this was happening and yet God moved. God works. I believe in a God that works. I believe in a God that moves in our lives. He's just not a God far away in the heavens looking down on us from a distance like the old song goes, some people from a distance. Well, He's watching us from a distance, but He's also up close. Even He's everywhere present. You hear that? He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. That's a big God. He's on. If you love Him, it's because He first loved you, which gives me evidence that He's in you, that you're born of His Spirit. He's taken up His abode in your heart, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And He's leading you and guiding you, even as you walk through this week. Don't forget that everywhere you go and everything you do, you're never outside of the watch care of the God who created the heavens and the earth. And that God was made manifest in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. And He walked here on planet earth. And we read about that here in Matthew chapter 4. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." This was right after Jesus was baptized. Immediately, He was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. That verse in and of itself causes you to pause and ask and wonder why the Lord would ever allow that to be. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus had all power. Jesus was the Word that was with God in the beginning. Jesus was the one who by all things were made. All things were made by Him. Nothing exists without it being made by Him. He knew exactly who the devil was. Didn't have to be introduced to him. Didn't have to, you know, no matter how the devil acted, he would never deceive this one who was not only a perfect man, but also a perfect God. He's the God of heaven. God made manifest in the flesh. Why would He even allow the devil to have anything at all? Why would that happen? Some might say, well, the devil came in and overpowered Him. No, that's silly. You see, the devil, unlike what the world might believe, you know, the world kind of gives you that idea and that thought that Jesus wants you and God wants you and the devil wants you and they're in a competition to try to get you and they're doing all they can to get you to follow them and then the decision comes down to you on which way you want to go. Do you want to go with the devil or do you want to go with the Lord? And first of all, if that would be the case, what idiot would ever say, you know, go with the devil? But yet many are misled and misguided that way. And they say that's the good news. That's the gospel, that you have the choice. God given you the choice. Listen, that's not good news. You want to know something that will trouble you? If you believe that tonight, that's troubling you. If you're a little child of God and you believe that tonight, that's troubling you. Because you think that because I chose Him, that means I'm His. But then you wonder, did I really choose Him? Did I really do it good enough? Did I do it well enough? And then the Bible speaks to you and tells you, even if you chose Him, which would be a good thing, even when you would do good, evil's present with you. And therefore, I didn't choose Him all the way because there's a part of me that still goes out into some of the things of the world. Sometimes I say things I ought not say. I'm not excusing that. I'm telling you that's the truth. And that's true with you tonight, even if you say, well, I've got my tongue under control. Boy, I'm glad you're that way because the Bible says it's an unruly member and no man can tame it. So that sounds like maybe you don't have it under control. And the only way you and I could ever control our tongue, you ever have it just fly out when you get a little mad, a little angry, and you end up saying something you ought not say, and you say, I just don't have any control over that. And that's a true statement. You do not. But I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, by a work of grace, can give you the ability to keep your mouth closed when it needs to be closed. And a man that's perfect proved it to us. Jesus never spoke a word when he shouldn't have said it. He never went a place he shouldn't have gone. You know why? Because he, as a man, he was a perfect man, was always led by the Spirit of God. He was always guided by the Word of God. He was always led by the Spirit of God in every action, in every behavior, in every word spoken, in every step that he took, even when he went and was tempted by the devil. You would say, well, what glory would God get in that? To watch that old boy just get defeated again and again and again. Remember who the devil is. He's a liar and the father of lies. He's the father of lies. That means he's the source of the lies. He's the one that came and tempted the first man, Adam. And remember how he came. He didn't come straight to Adam. He came to Eve. And there it is, with Eve, he presented himself like a liar that he is, that he could give her something that she couldn't get from Almighty God, who, by the way, had given her everything. She lived in a garden in a paradise that he had provided for, and he had told her, you can eat of every tree, of every the fruit of every tree in this garden, you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the devil comes and says, God really didn't mean that. Did God say that? Oh, God just knows that if you'll do what I tell you, listen, you'll be like God. And that's what he knows. And he doesn't want you to do that. And she bit not the apple, the fruit. We don't know what kind of fruit it was. But it was the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And when she partook of that, Adam separated from her, willingly partook of that fruit. And when he did that, the entire family of man, which was in their loins, there in them, the entire family of man, with except the seed of the woman, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, fell in a state of death in trespasses and in sins. An unrecoverable state. So all of men standing before men and saying, just make a decision, just make your choice, you choose good, you do choose what's right, is just saying God and the devil are on equal terms, which is a lie. Oh, listen, the devil, he allows and suffers. I don't understand all about that, but the Lord does what he wants to do. He doesn't check in with Gary. He doesn't check in with you or me. Our God is in the heavens. Aren't you glad we got a big God? He's in the heavens, and he's done whatsoever he hath pleased. He doesn't check in to ask me if it's okay. And he suffered the old adversary. He suffered the adversary to take his darling son and tempt him and present things in his arrogant manner, in his bigoted manner, in his pompous manner, like he was really something, in order to show what he really was. He was a liar, and he also taught us how that you and I will be tempted. What does the scripture say? He was in all manner tempted like unto us, with one exception. There was no sin in him. Now, our temptation is different in that we have the lust of the flesh. And when we are enticed, we walk in that. And when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And then sin brings forth what? It brings forth death. Now, Jesus never once considered anything the old devil presented to him. He never once considered it. How was he tempted then? It was presented to him. The devil threw everything he had at him. And he, as a man, as a perfect man, trusted in his heavenly Father. As the Son of God, he was equal with God. But he humbled himself and became a man. And as a perfect man, he taught us how to trust in the God of heaven. And rather than doing things on his own, he waited for God's leadership and God's direction. You ever get into that trouble? Where rather than waiting on the Lord, I got to fix it. I've got to go do this. I need to get around this. The Lord says, do it this way. And it seems hard. And it seems difficult. So I go around the corner and try to take a shortcut. How well are your shortcuts working? Mine aren't working so well. You know, and yours aren't either. Even if you think they are tonight. Just hang in there a while. They won't work either. You know, there's one way to peace tonight. One way of rest. One way of joy. Somebody says, well, if I can just get out of high school and get a job and get a nice family and get enough money and I can get this and I can get that, I'll be happy in this world and I won't need anything. I'm telling you, without the Lord, all of that would be empty. Without His manifest presence in your life, without Him blessing you to know every good thing you got came from Him, without your fellowship and your communion with Him, if you got all of that, it wouldn't be a blessing to you. It could be a curse. There are many rich men tonight miserable. And there's a many little child of grace poor as Job's turkey, like he said. I don't know how that would be, but it sounds like it's not a good shape. Job was in a bad shape. His turkey must have really been bad off. But if we're that way and you've got the Lord, listen tonight, if you have fellowship with Him, if you feel He loves you and you belong to Him and heaven's going to be your home, what in this world could cause us to be unhappy tonight? And yet Gary sometimes is unhappy because, you know what? I need to be reminded again about a Savior who saves, about a God who loves, about a heaven that awaits. Not because, and my happiness then doesn't become in everything lining up the way I want it to line up, but it comes in resting in what Jesus has done for me and what God the Father has promised. He's going, do you believe tonight He'll take care of you? If you trust Him, do you believe He'll take care of you? Matter of fact, God's little children, He's going to take care of you whether you trust Him or not. And matter of fact, He'll take care of you enough when you're not trusting Him, He will correct you. You don't want that chastisement. Sometimes we think, well, I can just forget what He did for me. He moved in my heart, but I can just act like that didn't happen. It's kind of getting in my way right now because there's some things in the world I want to do. There are some things I want to accomplish. And this church thing is a little bit too much trouble. This reading the Bible kind of thing. The world is saying it's a waste of time. Let me tell you tonight, brethren, from the Word of God, there's no more important book you can read than the Bible. There's no more important thing you can do than to get down on your knees and pray to God that He will open up your eyes and your ears and your heart. There's nothing more important you can do in your life. It'll help you no matter what you do. And without it, what does it profit a man? The Bible says if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul. And that's not talking about dying as a little child of grace. You can't die and go to hell in that sense because the Lord bought that, paid that price, and there's nothing that will undo that. Double jeopardy cannot happen. If Jesus reconciled you, the price has been paid, and the price that was paid by God, by the Son to God the Father, it wasn't paid to you and me, it was paid to Him. It will never be required again for those whom He paid it for. Y'all believe that? And that means you do not have to fear eternal hell. But you also don't want to be presumptuous saying, okay, He's paid for my heaven, so let me just live any old way that I want to. I'm telling you, there's a hell for God's little children right here on this earth when you get outside of the watch care of the Lord. And if you would become one that He's cut off, oh, God forbid we'd be a castaway where we're cut off and cannot feel His presence. There have been some moments in my life where I just seemingly couldn't feel Him. And I think there are times, as a matter of fact, I know there's times He allows us to get into that place so that we might for a moment realize what we have with Him so that we never want to be alone. I need Him. Do you need Him tonight? Amen. I hope and pray you say amen to that. And if you do, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and some of you I'll take. No, He says, and I will give you rest. And you take my yoke upon you. And that means get in this book and study this word and read it and believe it and embrace it and walk in it and put it on your feet. I'll wear it as the preparation of the gospel of peace. Carry it as your sword in your hand as you go into battle. And when the old devil comes whispering in your ear, if he was bold enough to whisper in the ear of the Son of God, do you think for a minute he won't whisper in mine and yours? You see, he wants to sift us as wheat. He wants to ruin our lives. But the Lord has loved you and He's given you armor. Isn't it good to have some armor for the battle? You're in the battle anyway, but you're equipped Put on the armor. Put on the helmet. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the loins. Have your loins girt about with the truth. See, do you hear the word of God in this? Have your loins girt about with what? The truth. That is Jesus Christ, but it's also His written word. Jesus said it is written. You know how Jesus fought the battle against the devil? I may not get to all that. Y'all read it. And read that tonight. Study that and see what Jesus said to the devil. Jesus suffered that old devil to do what he did, that tempter to do what he did, that false accuser to do what he did, to show us how we're to respond when he comes whispering in our ear. And he had to be tempted in all points like unto us, so that when he went to the cross, he would be the perfect Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that he had a righteousness and an obedience that he could give to us. That he walked in himself as a man, as the Son of Man. He was a perfect man. And when he gave his life, he took away our sins. The Father placed our sins upon him. And he gave his life for our sins. And he took his obedience and his righteousness and gave it to us. And that's the only way you and I will ever be fit for heaven. Not because you stop saying all the stuff that you really ought to stop saying. Or doing all the stuff that you really ought to stop doing. You say, you sound confused, preacher. Oh, no. I may sound confused. But I want you to understand, I'm not saying to you tonight, go live any way you want to. Jesus paid the price, so you just go anyway. The old devil came against the Lord with that very thought when he said, you cast yourself down. He said, just presume God's going to take care of you, Jesus, and cast yourself down, and the angels are going to catch you. And he even misquoted Scripture. You know the devil will misquote Scripture? That's why you just can't believe everybody that quotes Scripture. And really, they don't quote it. What they'll do is add a little bit to it or take a little bit away from it. And it'll make it sound just like it. Oh, that sounds good. The old devil doesn't come, like the brother said, in a red suit with a pointed tail. And we could have recognized that old boy if he was like that all the time. He comes as he did to Eve. I believe that serpent was a beautiful, subtle. I don't think he was as ugly as the old snakes are now. I believe he came in a form that made him look attractive and beautiful and caught her attention. And that's the way he operates today. But he's not leading us down the right path. And you and I have a. I'm going to read it. Wow. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. The Spirit led him. He was driven by the Spirit. The Spirit drove him to this place in order that he might do everything Jesus ever did. That's the way he did it. He followed the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? To know that we have an example of one who went before us, our one that is our to be our example above all others' examples. Yes, ministers are to be examples unto the flock, but they're to point to Jesus and point out how He lived. And He was always led by the Spirit of God. He was always directed by the Word of God. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days, and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungry. And that gets to Brother Junior's question. He said, what does that mean? And he was afterward a hungry. He was afterward a hungry. I've read that over a lot of times and hadn't thought about that. That little question made me think. He said, well, what does that mean? First of all, when you look at Mark and you look at Luke's account, you will see that not only did the devil, it seems as you read this, that the devil waited until he got hungry and then he came tempting him. But the devil was there the whole time tempting him, all 40 days. He was tempted of the devil 40 days. Read that in Luke 4, Mark 1. He was tempted for 40 days. But then as he's fasting in preparation, showing us how we're to put aside the things of this world. Focus on the things of the Spirit. He did that as the Son of God. He wasn't even hungry as he did that. For 40 days he wasn't even hungry. It says, notice what it says. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was what? Afterward, unhungry. He wasn't hungry while he was doing that, but in order, that shows us that he was exactly who he was. How in the world could any man that was just a man and a man alone go for 40 days and not even be hungry? We know only God could do that. But here we see him, the evidence that he's the Son of God. So for 40 days, he wasn't even hungry. It wasn't out of his need that he became hungry. He became hungry because he submitted to the hunger. In other words, he said, I'm going to feel what my brethren feel. The pain that they have is going to be my pain. The hunger that they have is going to be my hunger. The trouble that they're going to feel is going to be my trouble. He came to feel that. He came to live that. He came to have, that's what he had to be. He had to be made like unto us. In order to offer himself the perfect sacrifice, he had to be made a man. And yet, he wasn't just a man. He was the perfect man. And then he became hungry. After 40 days and 40 nights, it says, and afterward, he was a-hungered. We see him as both the Son of God here, in that he didn't hunger at all, and also the Son of Man, in that he hungered just like us. And I believe he hungered just like us. But you see, that didn't happen to him because he didn't have control of it. Are you following that? It didn't just happen to him because it happens to me because I can't control it. I mean, I get hungry because I just can't stop that. He had the power to stop it, but chose not to stop it because he came to do the will of the Father. He endured those things that would have never happened to him, and he underwent things that would have never occurred to him unless it was necessary for him to do the things. It was necessary for him to do the things that he did in order to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice for his people. You know how many things he did? Everything that was required. He dotted every I. He crossed every T. He kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. And when he bowed his head on the cross and said, "It is finished," the perfect, righteous and holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washed us from our sins, and we were washed thoroughly and clean. If he'd have messed up in one point, he would still be in the grave. There would be no resurrection, but he rose again for our justification, which means we are declared righteous and holy in him, just as righteous and holy as he is. Oh, that's good news for you tonight. It's the truth. If you're a little child of grace, will you believe it or not? But I encourage you with all my heart to believe it and embrace it, that you might find peace and be reconciled to the Almighty God who loves you. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came, who was the old devil? He's a tempter. Y'all ever found him to be a tempter? Does he ever come tempting you? You know, what was that Flip Wilson used to say? The devil made me do it. I'll tell you, sometimes we blame the devil for things the old lust of the flesh causes us to do. Sometimes we point it to someone else. But I'm telling you, the devil and his minions, if you will, the demons, those will come and tempt us, and they come not looking like demons or devils. They come sometimes even disguising themselves, as the Scripture says, as an angel of light. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, if we are an angel from heaven preach to you any other gospel than that which we have preached, you let him be accursed. What does that mean tonight? That means I need to know what God's word says, and I need that to be the guide, the lamp unto my feet, and the light unto my path. And I need to walk and beg the Lord to allow me to follow in the Spirit, so when the tempter comes to me, I'll be able to identify it and stand strong in the Spirit of Almighty God. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is." Listen, he answered and said, and we'll just get this part. He says this three times. He says, "It is written." Isn't that good? The Lord said, "It is written." And you know, whatever Jesus had answered him, it would have been just as good as "it is written." Every word Jesus ever spoke is as good as any verse in the Bible. Every word he ever spoke was as much truth as any verse in the Bible. You and I need the Bible. We need it to guide us. It is the truth. This is what we're to speak and what we're to say. But whatever Jesus said, because he was perfect and holy and righteous, was as solid and as 100% truth as any verse written in the Bible. Whatever he said at any point in his life. So Jesus said it is written, not in order to give authority to what he was saying. As a matter of fact, when Jesus said it is written, he gave authority to the Bible. Jesus, the chief shepherd, gave authority to the Word of God and is teaching us that when we get in the temptations of this world, you let the Word of God be your guide and that which leads you as the Spirit opens it up to you and allows you to see it and know it and understand it. And he said this. He said, if thou be the Son of God. What an arrogant idea and thought. He said to him, if you're the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. If he says that to Jesus, do you think he will say, will he not say that to you? In other words, if you're a little child of God, if you're a little child of God, why is this happening? If you really belong to him, why is that taking place? He'll bring that question to your mind. And then he'll say, look at all these natural things that you don't have. And he'll point to the natural. And he'll ignore the spiritual and point to the natural because he doesn't really know that much about the spiritual. And he'll use those things to cause you to feel like God has neglected you or God hasn't kept up his part. And then you begin to think, maybe I need to go more after these natural things. When the bottom line is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In other words, if the Lord has blessed you spiritually, you are blessed. And whatever you have naturally, you know what he also promised? That if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things, naturally speaking, will be added to you. Do we really believe that? I pray we do. Sometimes when I'm worrying about it and I'm concerned about it, it shows I'm not really believing. I heard a brother preaching this week. He said, you got a faith problem there. When you get down where you're worrying, it's a faith problem. It's not a problem you don't have enough. It's a problem that we have a faith. We're not trusting as we should and as we ought. And there's just so much more here. And there'll be other times. So I appreciate your kind attention tonight. If anything that I've said has been of any benefit to you, you give the Lord the honor and the praise and the glory for that. I'm just so thankful that we've been able to share the truth that salvation is by the grace of God, and that as we lean and depend upon the Lord, even when the devil comes with all his temptations, the shield of faith that he has given us is sufficient to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. The helmet of salvation he's given you will hold up. The shoes that he's put on your feet to wear into the battle, the preparation of the gospel of peace will lead you in the right path. The sword of the Spirit, you can take the Word of God, and when the devil tells you a lie, you can come right back to the Word of God and say, no, this is what God says. The breastplate of righteousness, when the old devil says you are not good enough to be a child of God, you can say, absolutely not. But I've been clothed in his righteousness, which makes me accepted in the Beloved. I didn't say that. Paul said that in the book of Ephesians. More importantly, the Lord, by his Spirit, moved Paul to write that in the book of Ephesians. Thanks be to God, we have that kind of Savior. So we don't have to be afraid of the battles here in this world. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. 172. 172. Thank you.